Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The cities of refuge in the Promised Land were always open, and they contained physical resources to house fugitives until elders of the city could assess their guilt or innocence. Anyone could come to one of these cities for refuge from the Avenger of Blood, whether they were an Israelite or a stranger. Similarly, Jesus is the always available, all-sufficient refuge for anyone that runs to Him for protection from sin's consequences. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his remarks on Joshua chapter 20 and then begins his discussion of chapter 21. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless His holy name. Cities of refuge, we saw, provided the physical resources of food and a place for the fugitive. And again, how that speaks so much about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our totally sufficient refuge. My God shall supply all your need tonight. Whatever that need is, whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is, whatever that is. And for each and every one of us, we can relate to that. We can identify to that in some way, shape, or form, can't we? Christ is all sufficient. All sufficient. He's accessible. He's all sufficient. Dwell on that. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who is near. He is the Lord who is there. He's the Lord that is with you. Isn't that precious? The living God, the creator of heaven and earth, our refuge. He's everything that we need to sustain us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Have you discovered that you need wisdom if you're going to make it through this thing that we call life? You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need knowledge. You need discernment. And there's worldly wisdom. And then there's godly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Tonight, we're reminded that we can go to Christ, who is the fount of all wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You see, because He knows your situation better than anybody else. And as you pour out your heart to Him, and as you and I trust Him, and as we ask Him for wisdom and guidance and direction and discernment, He guides our path. How wonderful it is to know that there is such a one to come to, one who can provide all of our needs. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "I am the living water. I am the bread of life." The only place to find protection from the Avenger of Blood was in the city of refuge. You see, a person could be sorry for what had happened, but if they were anywhere else besides the city of refuge, it didn't matter. And if you and I don't flee to the refuge that God has provided us in Christ Jesus, then there's no spiritual asylum for us. Apart from Him, we have no hope. Apart from Him, there is no help. You see, you and I can reach out to one another, and we should. We're commanded to, but we can only do so much. The Bible says over and over and over again, vain is the help of man. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17, we are told clearly, cursed is the person that trusts in man, that looks to man. Now, we should be there to help and to bear one another's burdens, but we can only do so much. The only one that can do everything for us is Christ. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the great physician. He's the one that gives us peace and strength and comfort and grace and mercy and wisdom and understanding. Remember, there is no other name other than the name of Jesus. And I like how the city of refuge was for all people, not only the Israelites, but even the strangers. In other words, no limitations. Jesus invites all, whosoever will, may come to Him tonight. Aren't you thankful that the way of refuge is made available to all and any who come to God through Christ? He is our refuge tonight. Right now, He's your refuge. And the cities of refuge were only a shadow of the true refuge that is available in Christ. Once we trust in Christ, we are secure. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Cities of refuge, a wonderful picture that God gives us here in the 20th chapter of the book of Joshua. reminding us that there is only one place to find the needed refuge, and reminding us that people who are in bondage, people who are in captivity, people who are hurting, people who are lost, they need Jesus. They don't need religion. They don't need church. And I'm saying that hoping that you understand. You're the Wednesday night group, okay? Jesus is pro-church. We're his bride. But the church as an institution can do nothing for sinners. It's only Christ. It's only Christ. And I like that. The older that I get, I like that. Because in Psalm 62, verse 5, you know it's on the right-hand side of the Bible, about halfway down the page, it says, my expectation is from him. Every time my expectation has been from a human being, it's fallen short. Because I've put them on a level of God. And no human being can meet that. My expectation tonight is from him. Your expectation is from him. He may and often does use other people. But beloved, look to him. Look to him for that mercy. Look to him for that grace. Look to him for that forgiveness. Look to him for that healing touch. Look to him. He's our refuge. He is our refuge. The door is always open. The gate is always open. He has the supply. And the wonderful thing about it is that if the truth were to be told and the books of Raymond Viola's life were opened in a court of law, I wouldn't get through the front door. There wouldn't be a public defender that would want my case. But Jesus has taken it. And because of his blood and because of his grace, I have been declared not guilty. Woo! That makes me want to shout for joy. And that's where it begins. But we go there to him every day, throughout the day, because he is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our very present help in times of trouble. Charles Spurgeon said these words, only waste no time, loiter not by the way, for the avenger of blood is swift of foot. And it may be he is at your heels at this still hour of eventide. If any of you have yet to trust Christ alone for your salvation, flee to him tonight. Is that you? If you're not in Christ, if you're not in that city of refuge, the slayer, the enemy, will surely get you and you will perish. You will perish forever. Joshua chapter 21, beginning of verse 1 through 3. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And so now in Joshua chapter 21, we find that God also set aside 48 cities for the tribe of Levi. And he scattered them throughout the nation. Recall, in our previous studies of the Old Testament, there were three families of the Levites. There were the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. And God didn't intend for the tribe of Levi to own their own portion of land. Remember, he told the Levites, I will be your portion. They had no particular land allotment, but as far as I'm concerned, they got the better of the deal. They got God to be their portion. What would you rather have, 50 acres of land or God? I'll take God, okay? And we're going to see in this chapter how he scattered them through the nation in all of these different cities. And here in verses 1 through 3, beloved, the Levites are making their request based on the word of God previously given by Moses back in Numbers chapter 35, verse 2. Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and you shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And those various cities and suburbs are recorded here in verses 4 through 42. Don't have a heart attack. We're not going to go through them all. I encourage you to read verses 4 through 42. For time's sake, read them for yourself. But I want to talk a little bit about these Levites and what was their role? What was their responsibility? And what can we gather from the fact that God was going to scatter them all the way throughout these 48 cities? It's more practical than you would think. Well, first of all, lest we think that God is being unfair or showing favoritism to the tribe of Levi, let's remember one thing. Let's get one thing established, okay? As Christians, we must remember this one thing. God is absolutely, totally sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do, right? If you don't like it, what difference is that going to make? He's God. He does whatever he wants to do. He does what he chooses to do. And what he does is always loving, is always holy, is always righteous. And he never makes a mistake. Never. Nor does he ever sin or err. It's not part of his nature. It's not part of his character. So when you look at these Levites, you have to remember that God had a plan and a purpose for the Levites. But that's nothing strange for us. For each and every one of you tonight, guys, God has got a plan and a purpose for you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. He didn't purposely make you, and he didn't purposely redeem you. He made you and he's redeemed you for a specific purpose. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find out progressively through prayer, through the word, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, God, why am I on this earth right now? Because when you find out that purpose, then everything else in life will begin to make sense. Do you know what your purpose is? It's more than just attend a Bible study and occupy a green chair on a Wednesday night. It's more than get up in the morning and go to work. It's more than pay your bills and be kind and be. It's more than that. It includes all of that, but it's much, much more than that. The purpose of God for each and every one of us is eternal. You are his workmanship. You. So when you look in the mirror, and the older you get, you have bifocals and trifocals just so that you can see yourself in the mirror. Maybe you shouldn't have the bifocals and the trifocals, because then when you see yourself, you go, ah! You are his workmanship. You are his workmanship. That word workmanship is poema. You are God's divine poem, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has, listen, before ordained that you should walk in them. You're not an accident. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made and fearfully and marvelously redeemed. So let's look at these Levites here. What was their purpose? All throughout the 40 years of the wilderness period of Israel's history, the tribe of Levi primarily served in the capacity of worship within the life of the nation. Remember when we were in the book of Numbers and we looked at how the tribes were placed around the tabernacle. The Levites were always camped closest to the tabernacle. They were always camped closest to the tabernacle. They were gifted by God to minister to the Lord and to his people in the tabernacle. They had the responsibility, we recall, for transporting the Ark of the Covenant from place to place. I find it so interesting that even those who moved the furniture of the tabernacle had to be called by God to do it. You see, we think in terms of big jobs, little jobs in the church. Now, there are no doubt degrees of responsibility. People say, well, I'm just a little old bulletin passer-outer. That's not even good English. What a difference. If you just have that attitude, okay, good morning to Koinonia. Glad you came here. Or God wants me to do this. God's called me to do this. God's called me to move these chairs around, play an instrument, rock a baby in the nursery, you know, when there's that, that's a big difference, isn't it? Because the first way I talk about, it's a job, it's a duty. And so when the alarm clock goes off Sunday morning, you go, oh no, again. You heard the story? This guy's in bed, and his wife says, honey, it's Sunday morning, get up, it's time for church. He goes, no! 5 minutes later, honey, get up, it's time for church. Told you no! Honey, you better get up and get dressed. It's time to go to church. Why? You're the pastor. You see, when your service to the Lord is a duty or you're on the clock, it is boring and there's no fruit, there's no joy. But when you realize God has called you to do what He's called you to do, what a difference. They had to be called to move the furniture. The Levites were in charge of maintaining the tabernacle, all of the cords and all of the curtains and all of the coverings. Remember, there was the spoons and the snuff dishes. You say, what, pray tell, is a snuff dish? So it doesn't mean anything to me, but it means meant everything to God. You know what that tells us? God is concerned about little things. Little things. Aren't you glad? Little teeny-weensy things in the tabernacle. God was concerned with. They had the responsibility for all of the sacred furniture, the tabernacle, all the vessels for worship and sacrifice, all the poles and the boards and the bars that held the tent together. The Levites had the responsibility for that. We also remember that when the nation crossed the Jordan River, it was the Levites who stood all day in the bed of the Jordan River and held the Ark of the Covenant high. But now they're in the Promised Land. You see, the tabernacle wasn't going to be moving anymore. It was going to be settled, we know, first in Shiloh and then later in Jerusalem. And they were the ones who were called to serve in the temple. And the temple was what? That place of unified corporate worship in the life of the nation. And the Levites were the ones that would assist in all of the great annual feasts and festivals, the high holy days for the nation. The Levites were the ones that would lead musical worship in great choirs and orchestras and all. And they became composers of psalms and hymns of praise for the nation. Isn't it interesting that those who kept themselves closest to the place of God's presence were the ones who were found worshiping the most? Isn't it interesting? You know, one of the gazillion things I love about my wife is that I don't need to play worship CDs in the house. She just sings all the time. And I'm glad it's her, not me. She's vacuuming and she's singing. She's just singing. Now, not 24 hours. You know, we're a regular family like you and we have things that go on, but she's always singing. She's always singing. She's vacuuming and singing. She's doing the laundry and singing. She's making a grocery list and singing. She's looking through the Sunday ads, deals at the malls, and she's singing. That's when I really get worried. But isn't it true that when we purpose in our heart to draw near to the Lord, and it's not that He's that far away, in Him we live and move and have our being, it stirs you up to what? To sing, to worship, to thank Him, to acknowledge Him. And the Levites were such a people. They would be a part of the sacrificial system because there was this problem called sin. And the Levites were the ones who were to assist the high priest and all of those in dealing with the life of the sin in the nation. But we find here, as you read those verses, I'm sure you're going to go right home tonight and read Joshua chapter 21, verse 4 through 42. How many of you are going to do it? Be honest now, you're in church. Dave's pointing to his wife. Joy's going to do it, and the rest of you. You scoundrels. But at least you're honest. It will help you with your pronunciation. And you'll know why when you read those verses, why I didn't. I said, let's just, you read them. You know, I have feelings too. I stand up here and I mispronounce a word. You go, oh, great. But what you see here, and you're going to see, you will see, as you read the verse or the chapters, that God didn't intend them, or he did intend them, to live in various cities scattered throughout the nation. He didn't want them concentrated around Shiloh or Jerusalem. Why? Why did he have these 48 cities, and within these 48 cities, six particular cities of refuge? Because the Levites, listen to this, the Levites were ordained by God to be a model of what it means to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. Wait a minute. Why does God have you living where you live? Going to school where you go to school? Working where you work? Why? Take a guess. Because of the wonderful benefit programs? No. He may have that, praise God. He's got you where he's got you because you and I are called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to be an example of what a Christian is like and how a Christian worships God. Doing the regular things from 8 to 5, or for some of you, from 8 to 8. You know, whatever. That's why you're there. Amen? To be an example of what it means to be a servant and a worshiper of the living God. There were to be examples. Another ministry of the Levites was found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10, where they are to teach Jacob the judgments and Israel the law. They should put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. In other words, the Levites were also called to be nurturers. They were not only called to have an influence upon others, they were called to nurture others. You know, some people are just natural born gifted nurturers. You know, people like that, they're just nurturers. It's usually, no offense guys, it's usually the moms. It's usually the moms and the grandmothers. You know, my grannies, when they're at the house, they go, "Mama, Mama," they walk right by me, all seven, just like the seven dwarfs. "Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm thirsty. Mama, I want an ice cream sandwich." I'm standing like, I could very well be the invisible man. The only thing they do with me is jump on me. The boys jump on me and start pounding me and tell me when they have poopy diapers. And so these Levites were not only to be those who were influential, they were to be those who nurtured. They were to be teachers. They were to be counselors. They were to minister the word of God wherever they were. The 48 Levitical cities became kind of like Bible study centers throughout the land, where they would teach others about God's covenant relationship with his people. They were places where individuals like Rahab and her family, converts who needed understanding of the true and living God, they could come, they could be initiated with the foundational doctrines of the knowledge of God and his plan and purpose for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9 says, "They taught in Judah and had the book of the Lord, book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." Why was that so important? Well, because they didn't have CBD. They didn't have local bookstores. The common people usually didn't have copies of the scriptures available to them. And so it was important that the Levites be able to explain the scriptures to the people and identify with them, because they were the ones who would have the copies of the scriptures. And these Levitical cities were scattered throughout the nation, and they were located in such a way that nobody would ever be that far away from a place where they could have the scriptures made available to them. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.